If you've done that, if you've met a few people and welcomed a few people, you can make your way back to your seat. And as you do, I would invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is the basis for our series this summer. And so I want to encourage you to follow along as we will look at several different verses throughout the book of Proverbs this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles underneath the chairs, and so I would encourage you to take one of those Bibles from underneath the chair in front of you and turn to page 527. That's where you'll find the beginning of the book of Proverbs in those Bibles. Let me remind you as we begin this morning that the book of Proverbs is not a book of self-help. It's not a book of self-help. That's the way lots of people read it. That's the way some people preach it. But it's not. It is incredibly practical. Yes, it is very practical. But we are not supposed to pick up the book of Proverbs and read about what we're supposed to do in this situation and what we're not supposed to do in another situation, and then just say to ourselves as we leave, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder to improve myself. I'm going to do more of what the book of Proverbs says is wise, and I'm going to stop doing things or try to stop doing things that the book of Proverbs says are foolish. That's not the way to approach the book of Proverbs. Some of you will remember toward the very beginning of the series, we talked about the foundation, really, and the heart of the book of Proverbs, and it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The very first chapter of Proverbs, verse 7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Later in chapter 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And then later again, "The fear of the Lord is insight and wisdom." And so, the heart of the book of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord. I remember the Sunday night after we had done the message that morning on the subject of the fear of the Lord, we were sitting, Melody and I, my wife and I, with our small group, our life group, on the back deck of our house, on the deck there. And one of the ladies in the group, one of the young women in the group, said that she had been told growing up that a simple way to remember what the fear of the Lord is to remember it means that God is biggest. And that's a really good way to remember what the fear of God is. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, we've got to remember that it's based upon the foundation, and at the very heart of this book is the fact that God is the greatest. And when God becomes the greatest in our lives, when He becomes greater than everyone and everything else in our life, then we have the foundation upon which to build the kind of life that the book of Proverbs talks about. Because the book of Proverbs doesn't just tell us how to act and how not to act in according to wisdom, but it also teaches us that we should desire certain things and not desire other things. That we should love certain things and not love other things, and that's not something you can do. That's something God does. And so change is possible because we fear God. That is, God is the biggest. God is the biggest thing in our life. When that becomes the case, when God is the first thing we think about and the biggest thing in our life, then that's the foundation. That's the heart for what the book of Proverbs teaches. Yes, it's a practical book, but it's ultimately and fundamentally a spiritual book. It's about God, the God revealed in and as Jesus Christ, the God revealed in the gospel, Jesus' life, Jesus' death for our sins, and Jesus' resurrection. That is what this series is all about. So let's remember that as we come this morning to talk about the subject of sloth, the sin of sloth. Now, there may be several of you this morning who don't really understand exactly what we mean or what the Bible means when it uses that word, the word sloth. Well, I want to use the animal as an illustration. I think we have a picture, yeah, of a sloth. Let me tell you just a little bit about this animal that has this name, the sloth. The sloth is a drowsy tree dweller. He sleeps about 20 hours a day. About 20 hours a day. And when he is awake, he barely moves. As a matter of fact, he is so sluggish in his movement, in the brief time each day that he's awake, he moves so little and so slowly that algae actually grows on his fur. That's a sloth. And so today, as we, in our Bible, in Proverbs, read the word slothful, I want you to think about the animal. And as we read the word slugger, or sluggard, over and over in the verses we're going to look at this morning, I want you to think of the word sluggish, because that's at the heart of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Sloth, the sin of sloth. I was thinking as I was reading some news this week about the upcoming presidential election, and I thought about the first time I voted. It was in 1980. I voted for Ronald Reagan in 1980. And this week as I was doing some study, I saw a quote that was attributed to Ronald Reagan. And this is what he said, jokingly. "I've heard hard work never killed anybody, but I say, why take a chance?" Reagan was kidding. But many people, if they're motto were to be put into words, it might be something like that. And that's a part of what we're going to talk about today as we think about the sin of sloth. So let me invite you to turn in your Bibles, and again, we'll be looking back and forth throughout the book of Proverbs this morning at several different verses. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 24 as we get started. Proverbs chapter 24. And what I want to do as we begin is talk to you about the characteristics of sloth. The characteristics of sloth. At this point, I have begun to describe this sin, this pattern, this disposition or attitude, but I want you to see that it's actually more than just laziness. Sloth is more than just laziness. It includes that, but it goes beyond that, and actually it goes beneath that. And so there's a sense in which it's probably going to apply to all of us this morning as we think about what this sin really is, the characteristics of sloth. Look at Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30, and look at the last verses of this chapter, Proverbs chapter 24. "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the field of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction." And here's the instruction he received as he looked. "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Here's the first characteristic of sloth. You are inclined to postpone work. You are inclined to postpone work. That's really what's being described here. Someone walks by the field of a sluggard, and it's overgrown with thorns and weeds and thistles, and there's a wall that's supposed to surround and protect this field, and it's broken down. And what the observer learned from looking at this field about this man was that he was someone who had probably postponed his work, a little sleep. That is, a little more sleep. That was his logic to himself. A little more sleep, a little more rest, a little more folding of the hands to rest. And then what happened? Poverty. Poverty. This field, this mess was what happened. it came upon him like an armed man. He lost everything, not because someone had literally robbed him. He had robbed himself because of his chronic procrastination. You see, sloth means that we are not inclined to get started on work as we need to, when we need to. And so the sloth is someone who is inclined to postpone work. Look back at chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard's favorite word is later. Later or tomorrow. Proverbs 24, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek a harvest and have nothing. You see, here's what happens quite often for many of us. We put off what we don't want to do, even though we know we need to do it. We know we should do it. We say later. And then a little later, what do we say? We say later, right? And then later, we say later. And that's the way it works. Here's someone in chapter 20, verse 4, who doesn't plant when it's time to plant. And there's a window of opportunity, right, for planting. And once the window of opportunity is over, then it doesn't matter what you do after that, you're not going to have a harvest. You see, this is the danger of this mentality. Later usually turns into too late. Later quite often turns into never. And that's what happens with sluggards when it comes to necessary tasks. I remember several years ago coming across this statement, and I started repeating it to my kids over and over and over because I thought it was so good. What you must do ultimately, do immediately. What you must do ultimately, do immediately. There's no joy in unpleasant or unwelcome tasks until you're done with them. Then there is pleasure in having accomplished hard tasks, difficult tasks, necessary tasks. So the sluggard or the sloth is someone who is inclined to postpone his work. I was also reading, and this passage, the first passage actually we looked at, talks about sleep, and we'll talk about that more later. But it's not just sleep that keeps us from doing what we need to do and what we ought to do. One of the things I read this week was this: Facebook is the sluggard's friend. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use Facebook. I do. But what I'm saying is we can, instead of saying a little sleep, we can say a little longer. I'm going to keep looking at this news feed and these pictures and stuff. And we can be doing something like that instead of what we should be doing, what's necessary, what's important. That's sloth. So characteristic number one, you are inclined to postpone work. Characteristic number two, you are incapable of completing tasks. You are incapable, and I choose that word intentionally, you are incapable of completing tasks. Now let me show you why I say that. Look at chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. Sloth is not only not starting our work, but it's not finishing our work once we start it. Proverbs 12:27, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth, or diligence is his wealth. It could also be read. So the slothful man is someone who's not diligent and who doesn't even roast his game. Now you say, what's that about? The image here, or the illustration here, is meant to say, here is someone who has meat. He's got game. He's got something to eat, but he won't even roast it. He won't finish what needs to be done for him to actually have food, to actually eat it. That's the picture. That's the point. Look at chapter 19, Proverbs 19:24. This is an interesting verse. And we're going to see one a lot like it, but a little bit differently right after it. Proverbs 19:24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. It's an exaggeration meant to make a point. Here's the image. A guy is sitting at the table, and there's a bowl, and there's food in the bowl, and he reaches his hand into the bowl, but then he won't bring it back to his mouth. He won't finish, right? I mean, he starts, he puts his hand in the bowl, but he doesn't finish. And of course, again, this is an illustration meant to be somewhat sarcastic, in a sense to poke fun at this tendency that we all have to not finish what we start. But I want you to look at the other time that this same image is used. Look in chapter 26, verse 15. And notice it's changed just slightly. Proverbs 26, 15. Image